My name is Dwayne Winston Holness, born January 1st, 1988, in Kingston, Jamaica. And I stand here to tell you the truth, the whole truth. So help me God. You look at me and you tell me I'm blessed. Calculated my steps, my heart, and my breath. You look at me and you tell me I'm next. Calculated my mind, my grind, and my rep. Petition, that is. You see, every image can be put into motion once the pages start turning. The teacher can only teach once the student chooses to start learning. A world for the taking, but we're so often scared to chase it because it can be so breathtaking. A world that's willing to share, but when I think about it, how much of us really care? When does a dream become a dream if you continue to keep your eyes closed? I decided to live mine the day my mind chose another way out. Another way out from the days of struggle. Another way out from the days of hustle. You see, I kept my eyes on the B's and the Jay-Z's, Tupac's and Bob Marley's, spoke my mind and did it my way. So I decided to stop worrying and just be happy. Be happy that I'm alive, be happy that I can see. See, seeing is believing, and if you really believe what you want to see, you'll see it. Simple. We've been left with no excuse not to see the life that we want to live. Our excuses became comfort food for the brain, giving us less of a name and leaving us to drown in a pool full of shame. Life is a game. Life is a monopoly. You can either own it or pay up if you don't roll the dice properly.
This is Making It in Toronto, episode 13. I am Othniel Litchmore. So that was my guest today, Dwayne Dukes Holness, performing his poem, Calculated Steps. It was powerful, wasn't it? You can listen to the rest of it on YouTube. Just search Dwayne Holness and it should come up. You know, I think my favorite line was the one where he said, the teacher can only teach if the student chooses to start learning. Like, when you think about it, teaching is really a two-sided activity. A teacher can't really consider themselves a teacher until they're certain that their students are learning. Just think about it. Take it in. The poem is really powerful stuff, and it really gives you insight into Dwayne's philosophies and guiding principles, and we get into it in our conversation. At 28, Dwayne is the chief executive officer of Corex Creative, a digital media production company based right here in Toronto. And his story, like the story of how he came into this, should sound familiar to a lot of people. He grew up in Jane and Finch, got expelled from school because he was running with the wrong crowd. And later he turned his life around using his creative talents, you know, his skills in video production and like just overall technology to become a savvy entrepreneur. Now, the thing is, Dwayne's story is a little bit different. His desire to create a business that would impact his community was not incidental or, you know, ancillary to his goal. It was his stated mission. With Corex, Dwayne wants to transform the way young creatives operate in the city. And that's a bold statement to make. What he's trying to do is like advocate for young creatives and make sure that they get fair compensation. You know, there's a lot of kids around doing a lot of graphic design, video production and stuff and social media stuff. And people use them. People don't compensate them properly or really appreciate them for their talents. And Dwayne's like on a mission to ensure that, you know, everybody gets put on, everybody gets fed, everybody eats. And he really talks about that in our chat. So during our conversation, you know, he talked about the events that caused him to change his life around, how he built and scaled his business, how to build a meaningful business that has maximum impact on the community, and how to move with calculated steps. That's a big one. You gotta listen out for that. You know, one of the things he talks about that really got me thinking was why we need to stop lying to ourselves. Like, a lot of us lie to ourselves, and not in the way that you would think. You know, a lot of us make statements about what we'd actually like to accomplish. We set lofty goals. We want to lose 50 pounds this year. We want to get a better job. We want to make $1 million, stuff like that. And we just sort of say it, and then when it doesn't happen, we just sort of move on. And Dwayne's take on that is like, we're really lying to ourselves. And think about it. You are a liar. If you have set these goals and made these statements and you're not actively trying to accomplish them and actively chasing after them, you're just lying to yourself. You're just a liar, just speaking to yourself. And that's me too. That goes for me. I never considered myself that sort of habitual liar. But like, you know, when Dwayne said it, really got me thinking. Dwayne had a lot more to say. It was a really interesting chat. Again, remember to check out the poem. Check him out on Facebook, Dwayne Holness. And, you know, it was good stuff, man. Really good stuff. Really good chat. So here we go. This is my interview with Dwayne Dukes Holness. Take it away. Bye. So I'm happy to have Dwayne Dukes Holness with me today. Dwayne is the chief executive officer at Quarix Creative. So welcome, Dwayne.
Hey, what's up?
Thanks for coming through.
Thank you very much for having me.
Okay, thank you, man. Thank you. So we're just going to jump into it. Yo, tell me what Quarix is about and what exactly does it mean to be the CEO?
Well, Quarix Creative is a digital media production company. So what we do is we do a lot of video production, graphic design, photography, brand and marketing. We do everything. We do everything when it comes to multimedia.
Okay.
Right now, we've been doing a lot of commercials for different corporate clients, which has been good. And what it means to be a CEO.
Yeah, or the CEO of Quarix in particular.
But as a CEO, I mean, we got to fill all the shoes that we can at that point.
I got you.
You know what I mean? So it is not a specific job that I do. I do everything. I do everything that needs to be done. I'm fortunate to be working with two other individuals who take a lot of the weight off of my shoulder and I'm able to now focus on getting more clients and doing the things to bring more business so that we can all eat.
Right.
My job is to make sure I bring food on the table.
So like business development, client acquisition.
Yeah.
So do you get your hands dirty too?
Hands dirty, of course.
Oh, okay. Cool,
I shoot, I edit. Okay. I do a lot of the shooting that we do at Quarix right now.
Right.
I edit a lot of stuff that we do at Quarix right now. I mean, this is what I grew up doing. So for me, it's hard to just step back from it because I always want to be in the creative process.
Gotcha.
So whenever I can, I do it. Okay. Eventually, once we do get to bigger projects, hopefully I can step back and
coordinate the team.
Exactly. I mean, I do have a lot of people working on different projects that I'm not editing.
Right.
That I do oversee, but there are still the bigger projects that I take care of.
Right.
But hopefully it gets to the point where I can have the most talented creatives just do it.
Doing their thing.
You know?
Got you. So you talked about like this is what you grew up doing. So tell me a little bit about like your journey to this point. So a little bit about your upbringing, like your education, and like what led you to create Quarix.
My upbringing, I came to Canada when I was 5.
Okay.
From Jamaica.
I knew you were from Jamaica too, because you got the same last name as the Prime Minister.
So yeah.
Is that your uncle or something?
It's family. It's family. It's family. Yeah. It's definitely family.
Okay, cool.
So I came here with my mom's single parent.
Okay.
She had to stay at family's house for a little bit until she can get on her feet.
Okay.
Eventually did that. We lived in Jane and Finch.
Okay.
My mom was always, she was always a worker. She's a nurse. She works long hours from 7 a.m. to 3 and from 3 to 11.
Right.
So growing up, I wasn't fortunate enough to be around my mother. I did get into bad, there was bad times. Actually, I used to get bullied.
Right.
Right.
And in Jane and Finch.
As a kid, I used to be made fun of, this, that, you know, I mean, come from Jamaica, this, that, all different types of things. So it's like, you don't adapt to the way that people are out here. So,
so
that gave me the strength to just really learn to be alone and just make myself know myself. Right.
Right.
That was one of the key moments for me now looking back to say like, this is why I'm so comfortable being myself and being alone, because I've been alone.
Right.
I mean, I can make myself the happiest person in the world.
Okay.
Right.
So how did that transition you? Like, so you went to high school and stuff like that. What type of person were you in high school?
Yeah. So now going into high school, I became the bully.
That's crazy. Yeah.
In high school, I got into a lot of trouble. I got mixed with a lot of different friends and got expelled from school.
Right.
That was the moment that I like really realized a lot of things, and I kind of made a 360 switch.
Right.
Because I mean, one thing I realized about like getting expelled, especially, is like you become in this zone where you're like, it's like you're in jail. It's like you're just frozen in time.
Right. Right.
Right. Yeah. And everyone is moving. Your friends who you thought were there for you,
yeah,
they don't come to see you.
Yeah.
They don't check up on you.
Yeah.
You know, so that was a big moment and a big transition to me to realize that, you know what, I can't rely on a lot on people being there.
Right.
I mean,
right,
that's not their job. Their job is not to be there.
Be there for you. Yeah.
Right.
Or you can look to them for the direction that you should be going.
Exactly. Yeah, so, yeah. I mean, they're already in school. They're probably making sure that they get their papers right.
Yeah, yeah.
Because they know what they want to do with their life and they don't want to mess it up.
Right.
So I messed it up at that point. And right, I had to sit down. I had to be like, no, I need to change this about myself and make my own decisions and do what I need to do to get forward. So, you know, I ended up getting back in school and graduating.
Right, that's good.
Then after I went to Humber College for multimedia production and design.
Oh, okay. Right,
yeah.
Very nice.
Which I graduated out in the first year. I was a top student in the program and I graduated with honors. So,
Well, how come you were so good at the program? What was it about multimedia and stuff like that? Well,
yeah.
It comes natural.
One of the things that I had always when I was young was a computer.
Oh, okay.
So I always tried to figure out the computers when it's time to go buy those new CDs with the games on it, with 100 right, games on it.
Yeah.
I would be the first one to go get that. And I'd be the first one to try to figure out how these things work in terms of programs like Photoshop and all these different things. I just wanted to explore it, even down to audio engineering.
Yeah.
I explored that. And when it was time to go into school, the skills that I learned from YouTube, I used to spend hours and hours and hours on YouTube. Like
watching videos?
Watching tutorials.
Okay.
I used to watch tutorials like it was not, like it was a TV show.
Right.
You know, so I used to sit there, and then when I went to school, what they were teaching is something that I've already learned.
Right.
So it became just like, oh yeah, I can do that.
Yeah.
And the teachers started to see that. I mean, it got to the point where I started teaching the teachers some tricks here and there.
Yes. That's good, man. That's great. That's really good. That's really good. So how did you get Corex off the ground? So you're a guy, you graduated from Humber, you got, you know, these skills and stuff, video editing and stuff. How do you transform that into an actual digital media company?
Well, to be honest, I started off acting.
Okay.
I was an actor. I used to do theater.
Okay.
So I used to be in front of the screen a lot.
Okay. Like, what were you? Did we see anything that you were in?
Well, I did a lot of background work on Degrassi and a lot of different things too back in the days. Movies, TV shows, everything. And I did theater, on stage theater as well.
Oh, okay, that's good.
So
that's good.
I had a lot of experience being on camera. I've seen a lot of the good and bad things that kind of pushed me away from that.
Okay.
And then at the same time, I was still editing. I'll be on set and I'll be editing stuff.
Right.
So I've always loved this video stuff.
Right.
You know what I mean? It changed from me it being a brand that's just my name to a brand that is now a company.
Right.
So it's more of a development.
Okay.
It was a process.
Exactly.
Progression,
rather.
Yeah. So it's more of a progression. Corex Creative was a progression from just me.
Yes.
Right.
Yes.
But for me now, learning about longevity.
Right.
My brand, my solo brand, Dukes or Dookie Dukes Productions.
Yeah.
Can only go so far.
Right.
So, and that's a lot of things that it's good to know, because sometimes we call ourselves, we label our brand something, but we gotta make something that's more timeless.
Right. So we become the brands ourselves, and then you get to a point where you need to. Like,
yeah, you need to structure it in a way where it's enough for you to use as an umbrella to host a whole company. Because right, Dookie Dukes, not everyone's just going to work for Dookie Dukes production.
Right.
Or like, it can't walk in a room and say, yeah, I'm here with Dookie Dukes production.
Right.
So I looked at it in that sense. And that's where I then came up with Corex Creative, which is running now for about 3 years.
Okay.
As Corex Creative.
Okay, nice.
And the meaning behind Corex Creative, a lot of people ask me that.
Yeah, please.
Is... for me, I'm always going back to that community feel.
Right.
So my thing was the core.
Okay.
Is the core.
It's
to make sure that we, like, in this company, we are the core creatives to build your brand. So that X is whether it's the 10 or it's the, we're just that X,
right,
we're that unknown, that, you know what I mean? We are those creatives, the core creatives.
Core creatives. Okay, very nice. And I kept saying Corex, but it's Corex Creative.
It's like Corex Creative.
The whole thing.
As Corex, a whole, yeah, yes.
Corex Creative. Very nice. Very nice. So how did you get the funding to get it off the ground?
Well, you have to build the funding yourself.
Okay.
I mean, I went from shooting videos for $100.
Right.
And then $200.
What kind of videos were you shooting?
I was shooting music videos. I mean, I was from Jenny Finch. There's a lot of rappers.
Yeah.
So I was able to leverage off of using my skill and my talent to help them, which in turn they valued me at a certain price.
I got you.
Right. Yes, and I was fortunate enough too. I met someone named Redway who was an artist who I was very passionate about.
Yes.
We became. We became like brothers. Like, he lived with me.
Yeah.
So that was another reason why I even took it to another level, because I was so in love with his music.
Right.
I was able to shoot. I wanted to shoot.
Yes.
I wanted to shoot. So my skills got better and better, just like using him as a test.
Yes.
Right.
Yes,
and then from people seeing his videos and loving him, because he's a very talented person.
Right.
People now gravitated to me and just wanted to work with me. So my brand started to grow.
I like how you said that. It's a very authentic. Like you said, you loved his music. You know, you didn't consider yourself just the guy shooting videos.
Yeah. And that's one of the main things. It's like, when you're creating art with someone, you have to love what they do.
Right. Yes.
And what he was doing, I loved what he did.
Yes.
You know what I mean? I would dream of just saying, every day we'd just go out in my backyard and we'll shoot something.
Yes.
Just because I wanted to attach a visual to it.
Yeah.
So from there, like, I'm going from shooting these videos to understanding that, okay, I need to invest in better equipment.
Right.
You know what I mean? So it becomes a slow process in terms of funding.
So you bootstrapped it, essentially, to use a business term.
Yeah.
Like, you just take.
I just the... yeah. I flipped it.
Yeah, I flipped it. Your street terms.
I'm a street guy.
Yeah.
And I would never take that away.
Yeah,
you know what I mean?
Yeah,
I will never. I'm a street guy. At the end of the day, I hustle.
Right, hustle. Yo, say that, man.
Yeah, no, exactly.
When I say bootstrap.
Yeah,
hustle,
no, I don't even know. I never heard bootstrap before.
That's all good. Yeah.
So yeah. You know what I'm saying? So yeah. I'm coming from that angle. It's like, I need to figure out a way to advance.
Yes.
So whether I shoot five videos for $100 each, that's $500. What can I do with that to make my brand better?
Yeah, gotcha.
So everything that I was doing is going back into my brand. Even to this day.
Yeah.
Now I'm able to invest $20,000 into a camera.
Right. Yes.
Because I know it's gonna make me triple the amount or quadruple the amount.
Yes.
So that's how I look at it. So in terms of funding, there isn't no funding. I am my funding.
Yeah, you're funding. That's impressive, man. That's impressive. I like that. So and I guess I was going to ask you about how you scale the business, like how you grew it, but that's it. You just took it, you flipped it when you did a job into getting better equipment. So how do you get bigger jobs then at that point? How did you start getting the bigger jobs?
Well, bigger jobs came through relationships.
Okay. Yeah.
Throughout my whole life, I've been building relationships. My community, the community side as well, I was able to build a lot of relationships through my community.
Mm-hmm.
And in turn, they supported me. So whenever there are projects, I was able to do those projects. My first couple of projects came from the city of Toronto.
Right. Wow. How'd you make that connection?
A community.
Okay. Yes. Yes.
Right. Because yes. City of Toronto is a community.
Right. And they do a lot.
Yeah. And then the grants that I got from the community as well. I got grants from ArtReach. I got grants from the city of Toronto.
Right.
I've gotten awards. I've gotten a lot of awards from city of Toronto.
Right.
I've gotten awards from the YMCA.
They just like what you're doing, or
I got a award from the YMCA for building community, building arts in the community.
Oh, I see.
I got an award for employing youth in the community.
Right, right.
You know, so for everything I did was community.
I hear that.
So I'm a community raised person.
From the community.
I'm literally from the, to this day, I work at Driftwood Community Center.
That's good, man.
You know what I mean?
Good.
I'm always, I don't need to be there.
Right.
You know?
Right.
So for me, that's where it always lies. And that's where the growth of my business came from, as a community.
Right.
From doing work with the city of Toronto, to doing projects with Coca-Cola,
yes,
to flying to do videos in Africa, to flying basically everywhere,
right,
and
right.
I mean, I'm not on my dollar,
right? I got you.
You know, so even just to be able to get to that level, it just shows, for me, it shows the possibilities.
That's good. That's good.
And the possibilities for me are endless.
That's good, man. Jane and Finch's very own, you know.
I'm Jane and Finch's very own, and my goal is to be one of the leaders of my community.
That's good. So apart from even like the video work and stuff, you do community work as well.
Yes.
It's a community component to it. Like, well, what's that about?
Yeah, so one of the biggest reasons I started to do community is when I was in high school, I had a negative influence.
Right.
You know me, I was able to turn that good kid into a bad kid.
You keep mentioning that. Yo, give me some details about, like, what were you doing as a bully?
We used to have a clique called Wolfpack.
Wolfpack.
So all right. If we want to get into it, I mean, we were just a bunch of kids. We didn't roll. We rolled no less than 50 deep.
Right.
Downtown, everywhere. We go to the schools. If there's a problem, we go to the schools.
Yeah.
We do a lot of these things. And there was three of the main people who ran that. And it was me and two other people.
Right.
So we made a lot of decisions as to, like, what we're going to do next.
For the group.
Yeah. I mean, and then it was such a cool thing where there was kids that wanted to come up and be a part.
Right.
And one of the biggest things that influenced me to go to community route is because there's this one specific kid who was this nice kid, always laughing, always fun. And we actually turned him into basically a monster.
Right.
Like, now he goes through the jail system a lot.
Yes.
And a lot of that stuff. And for me, that hits me, it, like, to know that I was,
like, a part of that.
I was a part of doing that.
Yes.
You know, so in my defense, in my return, it is I want to create a positive impact in a positive way.
Right.
And that's what I strive for. So I started to do a lot of community stuff. I started a community organization called High Class with me and Femi Lawson.
Okay. What do you guys do?
So, and at that point, it was still an idea. We had an idea we wanted to bring everyone together.
Right.
So what we literally did, we didn't even know what it was at that point. We had no clue. We said we wanted to start a movement. And we said we wanted to start a movement. And we did. I created the logo. I did that. And this is when Facebook first came out.
Right.
So, like, at that point, when I created the logo, we just said, we told everyone to, yeah, put this in your display.
Yeah.
So the next day, everyone had this logo in their display, and it just really started to ask people. Started to question, like, what is this? Yeah. I want to be a part of this. So we literally at that point started to create shirts, which we sold to people.
Right.
Like, we were just young entrepreneurs. We're just, like, creating stuff out of this vision.
Yeah.
Right.
And it's a positive thing too.
And it's a positive thing. So we were always pushing that. And that's what the time I was in Humber. So what I did, I rented out a big photography studio, and I held an event for everyone to come by. And my thing was always trying to find ways for everyone to work together.
Right.
So what I did was I got a bunch of photographers, I got a bunch of models, I got a bunch of videographers, I got a bunch of makeup artists. Yeah, and the whole intention of that event was for everyone to be able to build their portfolio.
Okay. Nice.
So models got their portfolios, photographers got their portfolios, makeup artists, etc. And it became such a big event. And some of the biggest people who are doing their thing in Toronto now, like the Femi Lawsons, the Marlon Palmers,
right,
you know what I mean? Those people were a part of that movement.
Right. So you're involved in this movement to build
people up. It was to build people up. Yeah, I mean, the only thing that we required was everyone that came through that door had to purchase a high class t-shirt.
Right.
Because everyone, that was the photo shoot. So it happened and it was just a really good thing. But at that point, I didn't know how to lead.
Okay.
So I didn't know what direction to tell people we're going. We'd have meetings and it'll go nowhere because we just brainstorm ideas.
Yeah.
So it just got to the point where it disintegrated because there was no real direction.
Okay.
But then we came back and we started saying, you know what, we're going to focus more on getting community stuff. So we applied for a grant. We got our first $10,000 grant from ArtReach, which was like,
This is high class. Applying for the grant.
So, and that was my first time ever even applying for a grant. That process, I spent 30 days just talking to people, trying to get the right information to piece together this application.
Right.
Okay. And then being able to submit it and get it. That's when the community involvement really started.
I'm impressed, man. I'm impressed. You know, we talked a little bit about money. Mm-hmm. Now, I don't know how comfortable you are with this, but give a general idea of how much money you can make doing what you do. How much money you make doing what you do. You see, you can tell I'm dancing around.
Yeah. I mean, everybody when it comes to money, everybody's on a hot foot. But yeah, I mean, money is very important.
Yeah.
Money is very important.
Right.
It's something that we shouldn't shy away from.
Yeah.
Because if someone knows how to make $1 million, I need to know how.
Absolutely.
Right?
Yeah.
So I'll tell you this. For the past 2 years, I've set a goal. I said, I'm going to make $100,000.
Right.
I told myself, I said, I'm going to make $100,000.
Right.
That year, I didn't make $100,000. Okay, right?
Yeah.
This year, I made $100,000.
That's good. Yeah.
So for me, it's just goal setting.
Yes.
Goal setting.
And you can work towards
it. If you don't hit it the first year.
Yes.
If you keep that thought in your mind that it needs to happen, it's gonna happen.
Right.
So now next year, my goal is $200,000.
Okay, all right.
And that's it. So I'm working towards $1 million.
Right.
You know, I'm going to get $1 million.
That's good, man.
And that's it. So in terms of it's constantly growing. And for me, team is the biggest part of my growth.
Right.
And that's why I try to incorporate everyone. This Corex Creative is not just for me, it's to protect the young creatives, because young creatives get taken advantage of. People don't like to pay them.
Okay.
They're usually undervalued, and a lot of the times is that because they want to do it just for the art, so people take advantage of them.
Yeah,
so
people don't see the value in it. I mean, they don't always see the value in
exactly
it.
So yeah. What Corex does, we host a lot of creatives out here.
Right.
So my main job and my main goal is to be able to get these corporate jobs and give it to these young creatives and pay them what they're worth.
Right. Okay.
And then we protect them through doing the contracts and doing all the other things that they may not know how to do.
Right.
And the whole negotiating.
Right.
Right. So that's what Corex Creative stands for, because I was once that young creative who got taken advantage of.
Right.
I mean, I can't ask a creative to do something for free. I have to pay you because absolutely, I know what it's like.
That's good, man. I like that. And I know, like, and you're not shy about your views, right? And that brings me to my next question about social media. I notice you're very active on social media, always posting and always putting out motivational stuff about entrepreneurship and stuff about just general, like what you just said about creatives and paying creatives. Now, what's that about? What are you trying to do on social media? What's your social media presence about?
My social media presence is free. Like, okay. I'm just, it's free. I'm me. You know what I mean? Like, however I feel that day, that's how I feel that day. say. Right. A lot of the quotes that I post is literally, I can be sitting here right now and something, I say something and I'll be like, oh,
why don't you just keep it to yourself? Why do you got to put it out into the world?
Because I know that it inspires others.
Right.
You know what I mean? The first time I started posting and the first time people started to say, yo, I wake up and I just check your Twitter.
Okay. Yes.
You know, or that message that quote that you just wrote just touched me.
Yes.
Like those are the messages I get. So,
you get anybody hating on you like, yo, stop posting, man. You're messing up my timeline with all your...
No, because they can just delete me. Okay. That's an option.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Yeah. I honestly don't get hate.
Yeah?
You
don't get no hate
no
at all?
No one comes to me with hate. I would love for them because I would literally have a conversation. Like, deeply, why would you... Why? Like, what have I done to you?
Right.
So I don't think I put myself in that position to get hate.
Yes.
You know what I mean? I'm not in that... I'm not in that circle.
Okay.
So for me, I put out a lot of inspiration. And it's not for me, I teach kids, so I'm leading kids.
Right.
I'm not leading people who are older than I'm leading a lot of 16-year-olds.
Right.
So you know what I mean?
And you like working with youth? Is that
I love youth.
Yeah.
I love youth. Youth is my heart.
That's good.
Like, you know what I mean? If for me to be able to mold them and turn them into something, that is gold.
That's good.
I mean, people are out here making millions of dollars, but they're not making dreams come true.
Right. Gotcha.
See, that's a quote right there.
Yeah.
And that's I would post.
Yeah, put that on social media right now.
You know what I'm saying?
That's true.
That's the thing. These are conversations, and I just put it. Whenever I'm talking, I put it out because people want that information. There can never be too much positivity. Positivity.
No, I agree with you.
Right? I'm going to continue to flood your timelines. I'm going to continue to do all that stuff and share all the positive things that are happening in my life.
Absolutely.
So that you can at least get something from it.
That's good. No, I like that. So on social media too, you say a lot of things about entrepreneurship, being your own boss and stuff like that. Expand on that a little bit. Like, what are your thoughts on like entrepreneurship, being your own boss, and what are you trying to do when you put it on social media?
I mean, when it comes to entrepreneurship, like I'm an entrepreneur.
Right.
Now I can confidently say I'm an entrepreneur. You know, I can confidently say what it's like to be an entrepreneur. It's a lot of work.
But what's so great about being an entrepreneur and like, yeah, what's so great about it anyway?
Because you make the rules. You make your own rules.
And that's the type of person you are, I guess.
Yeah, and my rule is to live your life.
Yeah.
So anybody that is on my team lives their life.
Okay.
There's no hierarchy.
Yes.
There is none of that. Everybody that works with me, they love what they do.
Right.
And I pay them for what they do.
Right.
I pay them the amount that they deserve.
Right.
So to be able to be in that position, you don't have a boss, you have a friend.
Yeah. Okay.
So that's my thing. But a lot of the people that I'm around are my friends. Like, we talk, we chill. They come to my house. I make them food.
Right. So you empower them to be entrepreneurs too?
Yeah. No, I empower them. And whatever information I learn, whatever mistakes I go through, I share it.
Okay.
I share information.
Okay.
Because information is not mine to keep.
Right. I got you.
Information is no one's to keep.
Right.
So a lot of people hold on to informations. You know, and that information can help somebody.
Okay.
So my thing is being able to help. I'm going through these stages as an entrepreneur to learn how to tell a 16-year-old, make these better choices.
Gotcha. So what do you think is the biggest misconception about entrepreneurship? Because I know you talk about that too online.
Yeah, I actually had this conversation to a bunch of youth the other day. The biggest misconception of entrepreneur is people think it's like you're free.
Yeah.
You can do whatever you want to do.
Right.
You know, you can do it. You just do whatever you want to do.
But you said you make the own rules.
I make my rules.
Yeah, yeah,
exactly.
Yeah, yeah.
I make my rules. Right. For sure.
But that doesn't necessarily mean you're
free. Doesn't mean I'm free.
Right, right.
It means that for me, it means that I have to be vulnerable.
Yeah.
Right. I have to be vulnerable to the people around me. I have to make sure that my team comes first. I have to make sure that they love what they're doing.
Right.
You know what I mean? I cannot just make the decision and tell them do this, do that. I'll be like, okay, what do you think about this? So being an entrepreneur is leadership. Right. And being a leader, you have to be vulnerable.
Right, right.
You know, so I feel like in terms of misconception of entrepreneurship, it's not this life where, oh, I wake up when I want. Yeah, you can wake up what you want, but if you wake up at 12 o'clock, you're missing out on your day.
Right.
You know what I mean, I need to wake up at 9 o'clock or 8 o'clock to check my emails and reply.
Right, right. Gotcha.
If I don't reply, then I missed out on opportunities. So it's not like I just wake up and just chill.
So, you know, I wanted to ask, and I should have asked this question earlier. Like, everybody has a camera on their phone now. Mm-hmm. And tons of people all over YouTube doing all sorts of production and stuff. And some pretty good production. Like some of these kids that put out stuff on YouTube and stuff. So what makes what you're doing so special? What sort of value would you say you add that like your average person on YouTube's not doing?
The value that I bring is...
Probably a tough question.
Sorry. No, I like questions like this because the value that I bring is, I mean, I tell people this, I'm not the most talented person.
Right.
I'm not the most talented videographer. I'm not the most talented at what I do. But I'll give you an experience that you'll never forget.
Right.
And a lot of people that I've worked with, I'm really good friends with. So it's not like I'm just working with the Joes and the Blows and all these things. I work with people who I can vibe with.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? Yes. Like, I work with people who we actually build a relationship with.
Right.
So the difference for me and being able to carve my own way is literally like I'm bringing me and I'm bringing an experience. So whatever connects I have, I'm going to share it with you because I just want to see you do good because we have that vibe together.
Okay.
Right. So it's not just like, oh yeah, shoot this, pay me my money. Okay. Thanks. Bye.
Yeah.
I don't work like that.
I don't
work like that. That's I turned on a lot of videos daily because it's not about that for me. First I have to like the music.
Yeah.
First I gotta like the project.
Right.
Right. And that's one thing, especially coming up, for young videographers and stuff. Like sometimes you get trapped shooting and doing projects that you hate.
No, you don't.
It's like needles. It's like you're stepping on needles because you don't like it.
Right.
Right.
Do you ever put some creative input in? Like you're filming a video for a rapper or something. Do you say, yo, boss, you gotta change that bar. I don't think it's working.
No, I would tell them I don't like the song.
That's good.
I'll be like, it's just like, send me a couple songs so I can choose.
Which one you would
pick? Yeah, which one. And if I don't like any, then I just don't like any.
Right.
I mean, I don't wanna take your money for something I don't like.
That's good. That's good.
Right?
That's really good. And I noticed that about what you're saying, like everything has to vibe together.
I'm about vibes.
Yeah.
Like at the end of the day, I'm about vibes. I live a life off of vibes. I want to be happy. I want to be able to walk in a room and feel the positive vibe.
Yes.
If I walk in a room and don't feel a positive vibe, then I'd rather leave.
Yes. Gotcha. What's the biggest obstacle you've had to face, like while building your business?
Well, for me, the biggest obstacle is having to deal with family issues.
Mm.
You know what I mean? Especially coming up in a single parent home and, you know what I mean? Not having the access financially.
Right.
Like, it is a lot of give and take. So while I'm building my business, I got to help out with this.
Right.
You know what I mean? I live with my mom and my little brother. I'm to my mom, I'm like her husband.
Right.
To my brother, I'm like his dad.
Right.
Right. So I have a lot of responsibilities on that end. So to be able to balance it and still be able to grow my business, it's a hard task, especially too. My dad lived in Jamaica. He just passed away this year. Wow, okay. So I had to take care of him as well.
Right.
So you know what I mean? For me, I hold the roof up.
Right.
At the same time, while I'm trying to hold myself up.
Right, I'm building a business. So you have responsibility.
Exactly.
And something like that.
Exactly. Yeah. So that is the biggest obstacle. And I mean, for me, my goal is to see my mom happy.
Right.
So whatever is going to make her happy, that's what I'm going to do.
Gotcha. That's good. That's the words of a good son. So what advice do you have? A simple advice you have for like a young person coming up that wants to do what you do. So they don't necessarily have to have the experiences that you had, because you had a very particular upbringing and stuff. But, you know, they're just a young kid. They've, you know, live a middle-class lifestyle and stuff. They want to get into digital media production. What's your advice to them?
My advice is to start with a vision that has a beginning and an ending. Like, know where you're trying to go. It doesn't matter how you're trying to get there.
Yeah.
It doesn't matter you don't need to know what steps you need, but know where you want to go. Like for me, I started shooting videos where I wanted to go. I wanted to start a business that helped other people. That's my end goal. How did I get there? I didn't know.
Right.
I didn't know how I was gonna get there.
Right.
But the fact that I seen the light at that tunnel.
Yeah.
The end of that tunnel, I kept walking.
Right.
And sometimes you just gotta keep walking, because when you first get a vision, it's blurry.
Yes,
you know,
yes,
when you first see get a vision, but you can see what's at the end.
Yes.
You can see that light at the tunnel.
Right. Okay.
So you wanna just continue moving along with that.
Mm-hmm.
And believe in yourself. Don't expect too much from people.
Yeah.
One of the biggest things that people do is lie to themselves.
Right.
And you get caught up in lying to yourself. You get caught up in telling yourself you're 5 minutes away when you're 30 minutes away. Right.
You mean when you lie to someone else or?
No, you lie to yourself.
Okay.
You lie to them and you lie to yourself.
Okay. If you, so tell me
if you
that.
Tell, if you say, hey, I'm going to be here in 5 minutes. You just said that, but you know, you're not going to be there in 5 minutes. So you lie to yourself. And that goes that you connect that to everything. If I say I'm going to start this business plan. Yeah. Today.
Yeah.
And you don't do it. You just lie to yourself.
Gotcha.
Right? You're accountable for what comes out of your mouth. You're responsible for what comes out of your mouth. So make sure that everything that comes out of your mouth is truthful to yourself first.
Gotcha.
There you go.
Can I see what you're saying, man? We connect on that. Yeah, that's interesting. I never thought about it like that. That's a good point, though.
It is. It is.
And so you got to start telling yourselves.
You got to. Yes. So then you got to start trusting yourself and what you say. If I say I'm going to be great.
Yes.
I'm going to be great.
Yes.
If I say I'm here for these kids. I'm going to make sure I'm here for these kids. If I say that I'm going to create a business that's going to change how creatives operate in this city, I'm going to do that.
You mentioned even earlier, you have to be vulnerable.
Mm-hmm.
And maybe that's a part of the whole equation too, right?
Yeah, it's a thing. I don't know if my philosophy is just different, but like I speak with my heart.
Yeah.
Like, I my heart's on my sleeve.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
I tell people I love them.
Yeah.
That's good. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
That's just it. Like, I tell people I appreciate them.
That's good, man.
I tell people, like, really, like, if it wasn't for you, I wouldn't have had this opportunity.
Yeah.
I mean, I feel like a lot of people are closed when it comes to being so vulnerable and
that's
so
true.
Open, you know that's what I mean? True. For me, if I say I need help, I'm going to ask you for help.
Yeah.
That's it. Where sometimes I think our pride gets in the way.
Absolutely. All right. That's good. Very good. All right. So the last question, I ask this question to everyone. What do you think about making it in Toronto? And specifically, how do you make it in Toronto? How does someone make it in Toronto? How does somebody go from an idea to starting something to like, actually getting it done in this city, this particular
this city is full of screw faces and sharks, and people don't believe in you. People don't believe in you until you do something that's credible.
Right.
So until then, You got to believe in yourself.
Right.
You got to prove why you belong here.
Right.
That's how you make it in Toronto. Have I made it? I don't think so.
Yeah. You're making it.
I'm making it.
Yeah.
I mean, I've made it to a lot of people. I know in my community I've made it.
Yeah. Yeah.
I mean,
yeah.
To some, there's levels to it. So, I mean, but I'm just grateful for me to get to a level where my dreams are actually coming true for me.
Right.
So it's not really, I've made it. Because I could feed my family.
Right, 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 right. Absolutely. And that's what's important.
And that's what the most important thing is.
Absolutely, absolutely. And so, yeah, I think you gave your advice to people trying to make it too. And that's good, man. That's good. Yeah, I think that's about it, man. You got anything else you want to say, man? Anything else you want to say?
I'm good. I'm good. I'm here. I'm living.
You dropped a lot of wisdom there. I'm trying to process all of that stuff, man. That's good, man.
Yeah. And yeah, if you guys have a chance, check out my poem. It's on YouTube, Dwayne Holness, Calculated Steps.
Calculated. What's that mean exactly, Calculated Steps?
I live my life on Calculated Steps.
What's that mean exactly? Give me some more details to that.
Well, everything is calculated. Yeah, okay. Everything in life is calculated. When you look at it from outside of yourself,
yes,
you see where your life is heading.
Okay.
Like, you know, we know the steps that it's going to take to get us to the next level. Like, we know what we're doing. We know what the outcomes can be. If I'm about to go rob a store, I know what the outcomes are.
Yeah.
So if I know if I'm going to follow my dreams, I could either succeed or fail.
Right.
You're not going to want to fail.
Right.
So you're going to do whatever you can to succeed. So Calculated Steps is I live by that. So check out my poem and you'll get a better understanding of who I am.
That's good. That's good.
And I stand by what I say.
I should have probably checked out the poem before we had this.
Well, we're going to check it out after this.
Yeah,
and you're gonna play it after this interview too.
Absolutely. You better believe it. Absolutely.
Yeah.
Yo, well, thanks, Dwayne. Dukes, really appreciate it. Thanks for coming through. Dropped a lot of wisdom, a lot of knowledge there. And yeah. We'll catch up soon.
Yes, sir. Appreciate it.
No problem. Take it easy.
Please stand clear of the doors.